Good morning, everyone. Today, we're spending some time with Maggie Whitehouse. She's a reverend of the Independent Christian Church, and her website can be found at www.pureprosperity.com. If you want to reach her in England, the number is +44 121 449 0344. Reverend Whitehouse, are you with us?
I am indeed. Hello.
Good morning. Welcome to the US via Skype. How lovely.
It's fantastic, isn't it? This modern world, I love it.
Yes, and because you're preparing for this evening's Shabbat dinner, let's go through this quickly. Tell me, why do you think the world needs prosperity consciousness?
Because we're mired in an awful lot of stuff about hatred around money and the people who have it. And we don't realize that this is a projection from a feeling of lack. And as soon as we push stuff out on other people who are apparently doing well or who are in control or in charge, we cut off a link between ourselves and the source energy. And we actually put ourselves into poverty. And this is not helpful for the whole world.
And tell us, why do people hate money?
I think we have pretty much the same relationship with money as we do with God. In that when I talk to people about money, and I've been counseling people in this area on the spiritual laws of prosperity, I'm not a financial advisor, but people come up with exactly the same phrases about money as they do about their concept of what the divine is. And there's nothing there for them. It's for other people. There's no experience of being loved. There's always a feeling of lack, of not being good enough. And it comes down in the very end to self-worth. And there's an awful lot in the modern world talking about self-worth, as the wonderful Louise Hay work, which has been out there for 20 years, about loving yourself. But this area of self-worth is very, very tricky. And the human ego is trained specifically to fit in with its tribe. So, for example, we had somebody come around this morning who's helping us organize a conference we're organizing, and he has a huge lack of confidence. And what's happened in his life is that something has happened to him that's made him happier. He's in a good relationship, and his money situation has just become terrible. And he can't understand what's going on, but what I see is it's a kind of like a happiness set level. And money being energy, it's the thing that our ego will use to compensate if we've got happier than the tribe will let us be. Now, this guy generally complaining about. He's generally a kind of guy who will always put down the world, but his money's okay. But now he's in love. He's feeling very good about life. But that's not the level that everybody else can deal with. And his money level's just gone down. And I see this again and again and again when people get happier than they think they should be allowed to be. And this is the self-worth issue that we all have. And I've had it for years. I'm pretty much through it now. But I could either be happy or wealthy. But I couldn't seem to manage both. And it took 20 years for me to get the whole knack of understanding this was all about not getting to a level of happiness that would threaten my parents or my peers, because other people's thoughts about poverty and prosperity would get projected onto you. And there's a saying in England called, "Oh, she's no better than she ought to be." I don't know if that relates very well.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes, it does.
Get above your station.
Mm-hmm.
And the ego is very, very tribal, and it believes it's trained by the age of 7. Isn't this amazing? There's a Jesuit saying, "Give me a child till he is 7, and I will give you the man." And all our beliefs about money and self-worth are kind of trained in by the time we're 7, and it comes back to how we were trained about religion and self-worth.
Is there a connection between money and God?
Absolutely. Absolutely, because money is energy. And when you talk about God, you sort of take people into the idea of using the word the source energy, the vortex, the divine, the one. And we talk about what is the energy that created the universe. And the word energy comes up again and again and again. It's the idea of a flow of positive energy, except that people perceive God, especially in the modern world of religious wars, well, very ancient religious wars as well, they see it as sometimes a malevolent energy. And money also is precisely energy, because nowadays only 2% of the money in the world is physically real. You know, as in the notes and the coins that we hand out, 98% of it is a sort of an agreement, an electronic agreement between computers. And if we think about quantum mechanics and the idea that energy cannot be created and energy cannot be destroyed, it can only be changed, then we must realize that money is a form of energy which can be changed by our thoughts about it. God said, let there be light, which is an energy force, and an energy was created, or in the New Testament you've got, in the beginning was the Word, and that's a really important statement. Whatever we say about anything forms an energy field around us and in the world outside us. So if we're constantly dissing money or blaming the people with money, we put an energy out there that means, I don't want this stuff.
Now, what kind of people have the most problems around money and finance?
You know, it's the loving people, it's the nice people, and it's the kind people. Because there's a balance here between giving and receiving. And generally, those who are out there in the world, and we can understand why there might be enmity against them, because they are the people who know how to receive. They may not know how to give very well. And obviously, their chance of growth in life is about learning to receive and give. But for the nice people, the loving people, the kind people, the carers in particular, they give. They give, 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 and they give on empty. And they never actually learn about the value of receiving. And let me just throw in an idea from the Old Testament, which is fabulous. There's a system called tithing. It's very misunderstood in the modern world because people think it means you have to give 10% of your money to charity. It's not what it means in Deuteronomy or Leviticus at all. It means actually put your money and your time towards where your inspiration comes from. And that's really, really important. So it basically says inspiration, celebration, everybody else. That's what tithing's about. Connect with whatever your concept is of source energy, your joy. Celebrate, play, and have everything you really, really want for yourself. And then from a position of fullness, from the 23rd Psalm, my cup runneth over, you give to other people. And then what you do is you create a never-ending flow that comes into you and then can go out to the world and you don't get tired. But what happens with the lovely people, the kind people, is they start their day running, helping everybody else. They don't take a minute to connect, to take a little time for themselves, to have a nice breakfast, to enjoy the beauty of the world, and then give. And but the irony of it is they want everybody else to be happy, but they won't take enough time to be happy themselves. And how you do this with money to turn everything around is when you get any cash in, you can do it with bank accounts as well, but I start teaching people with cash, is take $1 or £1 and put it on one side for inspiration. Whatever inspires you, a book from Amazon or a workshop or any event you want to go to or something that makes you tingle with joy, that really connects you to who you are, whether you're a cook or a nurse or a workshop leader or a motorbike enthusiast, whatever really, really floats your boat. And then put another pound or dollar on one side for celebration of life, for fun, perhaps for a bottle of wine or a bar of chocolate or a bunch of flowers. Then you deal with the rest of the world. Then you pay the bills. And it doesn't matter on the amount. It's the order. The tithing system is very clear. If you do this in the right order, your life starts turning around. And I'm not asking anyone to believe me, but I am asking them to give it a go and see whether it works.
Is that the reason why lottery winners lose their winnings within a year?
Almost certainly, because they haven't got what we call the happiness set point to have that amount of energy. If there isn't a prosperity consciousness, that amount of energy turns destructive because it's all on who we are and how we feel about things. A vast amount of money, if you don't feel you're worthy of it or you don't have a good attitude about it, your ego will get rid of it as fast as possible. It will squander it or it will give it away. And the most difficult thing for people to understand is that when you get a large amount of money, it's not wise to suddenly start giving it in vast amounts to other people because they may not have a consciousness that gets it that way at all. I knew somebody when I was young who gave his 21-year-old son a Porsche, and the boy had wrapped it round a tree in 48 hours because he was too young and he didn't have the consciousness to have a Porsche. Fortunately, he survived, but it was a terrible example of going up too fast. When we've got a poverty consciousness, it's a slow but steady turnaround about the self-worth and understanding that we're worthy of this, and then we're worthy of that, and then we're worthy of the other, and it's okay to have a good relationship and money. And we are so afraid of the judgment of the outside world saying, oh, you shouldn't have that, or you're not good enough at that, that we'll kind of sort of quietly get rid of it so that people can say, oh, well, you know, she's a lovely person. She doesn't have much, but she's a lovely person. Which is a bit like saying, when somebody's not attractive, saying, oh, she's got a great personality. You know, we if we haven't got the consciousness, it's very hard to step up and maintain prosperity. And I think it's a really unselfish thing to do, to learn prosperity consciousness, because only if you've got it can you teach other people to have it. And only when everybody else has got it will we start lowering the need for charity we have in the world. At the moment, we're throwing money at so many things that need, and that need, that need, that need. But what we need is people at the other end teaching the people receiving how to receive and how to get that prosperity consciousness so they can grow instead of needing more.
I still teach a course on economics, old-fashioned family economics, because I've noticed that many of my students don't know how to manage finances, don't know how to pay their bills. They're not disciplined with finance. And I notice that that moves on into their 20s, their 30s, and their 40s. And that's a concern, because they are raising children who are also not disciplined financially. And that creates a repeated cycle for the next generation.
It does. It's a vicious circle. It's exactly the same with the attitude towards money. And you've hit on it perfectly. The word here is discipline, and people don't like to hear the word discipline because so many of us have been disciplined and disciplined into things that weren't comfortable for us or happy for us. So when we think of the word self-discipline, we don't feel comfortable with it. But actually, when I teach people prosperity consciousness, I do say to them, you have to have the discipline to practice this. You have to have the discipline to apply it. You are worth that time spent on yourself. It's the same with meditation, and that's one of the most powerful things you can do. If prayer is talking to the Holy One, meditation is listening. And there's no point in talking if you're not going to listen, because the answer will certainly come back. But it took me, I had to enroll on a course in the USA that was a two-week course, which required you to meditate and journal for 6 weeks afterwards, every single day. Otherwise, you couldn't get the certificate at the end of the course. And I actually went all the way to the USA and paid the money to take that course, because I knew if I didn't do it, I would never, ever have the self-discipline to teach myself to meditate. But after 6 weeks, the human ego is retrained. So that's very helpful to know. If you do anything for 6 weeks, then you'll be finding it easier and easier after that. And now my ego won't let me not meditate, which is fantastic.
That is wonderful. I can't thank you enough, especially on Shabbos, to take the time to share these few minutes with us, to help us train people and share these wonderful ideas. And I hope you'll come back often.
I hope so too. And if people do go to the Pure Prosperity website, there is a link there to my blog, which has a monthly article, a free article on prosperity consciousness. And if you flip back to that to November 2010, I think it is, there's a whole article on tithing, and everything on that blog is absolutely free. And on the website also, there's a 1 hour free download webinar on spiritual laws of prosperity. I think that this is important stuff, and I'm really happy to share it. So thank you for the privilege of talking with you.
Thank you for the courtesy, and we will see you here again. This has been Reverend Whitehouse talking about tithing, of all things, and money consciousness. Have a great weekend and a great Shabbos this evening. Shabbat shalom.
Shabbat shalom.
That was great. It was excellent.
You rock. You rock. You really do.